welcome to this episode of Gospel Living Made Awesome. I'm Chaz Hathaway, author of Marriage is Ordained of God, but Who Came Up with Dating? A humorous guide to help you succeed in dating, and Giraffe Tracks, the inspiring true story of an LDS missionary in post-apartheid South Africa. Thanks for joining us today. With the new year coming on, especially it being 2012, we keep hearing in the media about how the Mayan calendar comes to an end this year. And what does that mean exactly? Did the Mayans think that this would be the end of the world? Did they think this was going to be the start of some catastrophes and so forth? And it kind of got me thinking about the second coming, obviously, because that's kind of what gets our interest about subjects like that. And we're going to talk a little bit about the Mayan calendar in a few minutes toward the end of this podcast. But first, let's talk about the timing of the second coming of Jesus Christ. Because we all wonder, when is he going to come? And we keep hearing of people's predictions of he's going to come this day or he's going to come that year and so forth. And we all know that we really don't know the time of his coming. So let's discuss that a little bit. First off, there's a favorite scripture of mine in Alma, chapter 13, verse 25, that says, "And now we only wait to hear the joyful news declared unto us by the mouth of angels of his coming. For the time cometh, we know not how soon. Would to God that it might be in my day, but let it be sooner or later, in it I will rejoice." Doesn't that sum up so much of our feelings? I know it sums up mine. I'd love to be there. I'd love to be alive when he comes in his glory. So when will Jesus Christ come back? You might find it interesting that Joseph Smith once asked the Lord quite directly when he's coming back. And here's what he said about it. "I was once praying very earnestly to know the time of the coming of the Son of Man, when I heard a voice repeat the following, 'Joseph, my son, if thou livest until thou art 85 years old, thou shalt see the face of the Son of Man. Therefore, let this suffice, and trouble me no more on this matter.' I was left thus," continues Joseph, "without being able to decide whether this coming referred to the beginning of the millennium or to some previous appearing, or whether I should die and thus see his face. I believe the coming of the Son of Man will not be any sooner than that time." Okay, so the prophet of God, the opening prophet of this dispensation, who was able to get answers to all of his questions from the Lord, did receive an answer to this question, and the answer was, "Trouble me no more on this matter." The Lord did not want to tell him. In fact, if you look at the date that he gave, the 85 years old, that it doesn't take for the second coming. So whatever the Lord meant by him living to 85 years must have meant, like he said, a previous appearing or perhaps the, when he would die to see his face. So angels don't know. Even during Jesus' life, he didn't know. At least when he was mortal, he didn't know. And I suppose that he probably knows since the resurrection. But even that isn't discussed in any great detail in the scriptures. In Doctrine and Covenants 49:7, the Lord says, "I, the Lord God, have spoken it. But the hour and the day no man knoweth, neither the angels in heaven, nor shall they know until he comes." Here's another thing that Joseph Smith said. "Jesus Christ never did reveal to any man the precise time that he would come. Go and read the scriptures, and you cannot find anything that specifies the exact hour he would come. And all that say so are false teachers." That's in the history of the church. Okay, so nobody knows the date of his coming. You can't figure it out by some calendar. But certainly he does want us to know when the time is getting close. In fact, aside from giving us the date or the year, he's made every effort to make sure that we know he's coming soon. He wants us to be prepared, and he's provided us a way of telling us about how soon Christ would come. And this is something we often overlook, that he does want us to know when he's coming. It's not just that he wants us to not have any idea when he's coming. He wants us to know. He just has told us you will not figure out the date. So how does he tell us the time? Here's what the Lord says about it. "And he that believeth shall be blessed with signs following, even as it is written, 'And unto you it shall be given to know the signs of the times and the signs of the second coming of the Son of Man.' That's Doctrine and Covenants 68, 10, and 11. The Lord wants us to watch for the signs of His coming and understand how close His coming is by following the signs, not by discovering the date. Here's another scripture in Doctrine and Covenants 39, 23. And again, it shall come to pass that on as many as ye shall baptize with water, ye shall lay your hands, and they shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, and shall be looking forth for the signs of my coming, and shall know me. In the book of Matthew, chapter 16, verses 1 through 4. The Pharisees also with the Sadducees came, and tempting, desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said unto them, When it is even, ye say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the signs of the times? Isn't it interesting that the Lord wants us to watch for the signs of His coming? He's not trying to hide it from us. And to me, it makes sense that He would give us signs rather than a date, because a date anyone can just be ready for. They can repent the day before, and then if it doesn't come, then they can go on living a sinful life. But if you're watching for the signs of His coming, you have to be constantly on lookout. You have to constantly be ready, and you have to be studying the scriptures and the words of the prophets so that you can recognize the signs when they come. Here's another scripture in Doctrine and Covenants 45, 16. And I will show it plainly, as I showed it unto my disciples as I stood before them in the flesh, and spake unto them, saying, As ye have asked of me concerning the signs of my coming, in the day when I shall come in my glory in the clouds of heaven, to fulfill the promises that I have made unto your fathers. If we want to know the time of His coming, or to be able to sense the time of His coming based on the signs of Christ's coming, if we want to know what those signs are and how to recognize them, we need to read the scriptures and the words of the living prophets. Those are key. President Wilford Woodruff said, If the world wants to know what is coming to pass, let them read the Bible, the Book of Mormon, and the Doctrine and Covenants. Let them read the revelations of St. John. As God lives, they will come to pass. Not one of them will fall unfulfilled. And the hand of God is beginning to be manifest in the earth. Judgment is at the door. Calamity awaits the nations of the earth. But we ourselves should be prepared to stand in holy places while the judgments of God are manifest in the earth. President Woodruff continues, We are living in a late age, although it is true there are a great many vast and important events to transpire in these days. But one thing is certain, though the Lord has not revealed the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man shall come, He has pointed out the generation, and the signs predicted as the forerunners of that great event have begun to appear in the heavens and on the earth, and they will continue until it is all consummated. If we, as Latter-day Saints, want anything to stir us up, let us read the Bible, Book of Mormon, and the Book of Doctrine and Covenants. They contain enough to edify and instruct us in the things of God. Treasure up the revelations of God and the gospel of Christ contained therein. That's the end of the quote. We know that the Savior's going to return. It's not a matter of whether or not He's going to return. It's a matter of when. He is coming. That's not the question. The question is, will we be ready when He comes? Will we be ready to serve others where He needs us to serve? Are we going to be ready to step up and do the things that He has called us to do? In fact, the scriptures are so full of the signs of His coming that in order to really get all of the signs, you have to read all of the scriptures as well as all the words of the living prophets. James E. Talmage said, The precise time of Christ's coming has not been made known to man. By learning to comprehend the signs of the times, by watching the development of the work of God among the nations, and by noticing the rapid fulfillment of significant prophecies, we may perceive the progressive evidence of the approaching event. His coming will be a surprise to those who have ignored His warnings and have failed to watch. So how can we tell the difference between ordinary events that are going on in the world, even catastrophic events that are going in the world, and those that are genuine signs of the second coming? How can we tell which is which? George Q. Cannon said, "The greatest events that have been spoken of by the holy prophets will come along so naturally as the consequence of certain causes that unless our eyes are enlightened by the Spirit of God and the Spirit of Revelation rests us, we will fail to see that these are the events predicted by the holy prophets. And so with the great events that will take place in the future, they will come along in so natural a manner, the Lord will bring them to pass in such a way that they will not be accepted by the people, except by those who can comprehend the truth as the fulfillment of the predictions of the prophets." That's the end of the quote by Elder Cannon. I think for our sake, it's better to assume that when we hear of events in the world, certain earthquakes or hurricanes and so forth, I think it's safe for us to assume that they are signs of his coming. A lot of the signs are given so generally that, such as storms and earthquakes and so forth, that any individual earthquake or hurricane ought to be seen by us as a sign. President Wilford Woodruff also said, "I do not think anyone can tell the hour of the coming of the Son of Man. We need not look for the time of that event to be made known. The signs in both heaven and earth all indicate the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. When my mind, under the influence of the Spirit of God, is open to comprehend these things, I many times marvel and wonder, not only at the world, but also at ourselves, that we are not more anxious and diligent in preparing ourselves and our families for the events now at our doors. For though the heavens and the earth pass away, not one jot or tittle of the word of the Lord will go unfulfilled. You watch the signs of the times, the sign of the coming of the Son of Man. They are beginning to be made manifest both in heaven and on earth. We are approaching these things. All that the Latter-day Saints have to do is to be quiet, careful, and wise before the Lord. Watch the signs of the times and be true and faithful. And when you get through, you will understand many things that you do not today." Remember that the scriptures and the living prophets should be our primary source of information in trying to figure out the signs of the coming of Christ. Here's what Bruce R. McConkie said. "Treasure up the Lord's word. Possess it. Own it. Make it yours by both believing it and living it. For instance, the voice of the Lord says that if men have faith, repent, and are baptized, they shall receive the Holy Ghost. It is not sufficient merely to know what the Scripture says. One must treasure it up, meaning take it into his possession so affirmatively that it becomes part of his very being. As a consequence, in the illustration given, one actually receives the companionship of the Spirit. Obviously, such persons will not be deceived where the signs of the times and the second coming of the Messiah are concerned." So some people would like to know, is it going to be in 3 years or is it going to be in 300 years? We don't know. We like to think it's going to be in our time, but like Alma, we hope it's in our time, but whether it's in our time or sometime in the future, in it we will rejoice. Because the scriptures say that the righteous who die before his coming will be resurrected at his coming. So we'll be there if we're righteous. And that to me is a great comfort and something to look forward to. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about Mayan calendars. I think this is a rumor that is very interesting to the Latter-day Saints because of the Mayan connection to ancient America, where the Book of Mormon took place. But it may be interesting to note that what society associates with the end of the Mayan calendar is inconsistent with Mayan beliefs and practices. The USA Today ran an article on the subject. It was written by Jeffrey McDonald, and he interviewed some experts of ancient Mayan culture and belief. This is what the article said. "Maya civilization, known for advanced writing, mathematics, and astronomy, flourished for centuries in Mesoamerica, especially between AD 300 and 900. Its long count calendar, which was discontinued under Spanish colonization, tracks more than 5,000 years, then resets at year zero. For the ancient Maya, it was a huge celebration to make it to the end of a whole cycle," says Sandra Noble. Executive Director of the Foundation for the Advancement of Mesoamerican Studies in Crystal River, Florida, to render December 21st, 2012, as a doomsday or moment of cosmic shifting, she says, is a complete fabrication and a chance for a lot of people to cash in. Continuing the article, Susan Milbrath, a Maya archaeoastronomer and a curator at the Florida Museum of Natural History, says, "We have no record or knowledge that they would think the world would come to an end at that point." The University of Florida anthropologist Susan Gillespie says the 2012 phenomenon comes from media and from other people making use of the Maya past to fulfill agendas that are really their own. That's the end of the USA Today article. National Geographic also came to a similar conclusion. In its newsletter on November 6, 2009, Brian Handwerk wrote, "The Maya calendar doesn't end in 2012, as some have said, and the ancient never viewed that year as the time of the end of the world," archaeologists say. "But December 21st, 2012, give or take a day, was nonetheless momentous to the Maya. It's the day when the largest grand cycle in the Mayan calendar, 1,872,000 days, or 5,125.37 years, overturns and a new cycle begins," said Anthony Aveni, a Maya expert and archaeoastronomer at Colgate University in Hamilton, New York. "If the Maya didn't expect the end of time in 2012, what exactly did they predict for that year?" Many scholars who've pored over the scattered evidence on Maya monuments say the empire didn't leave a clear record predicting that anything specific would happen in 2012. In fact, Aveni says, the Maya weren't much for predictions. That's the end of the article by National Geographic. Basically, the rumor doesn't hold water for the Mayans or the Latter-day Saints. Thanks so much for joining us today. Again, I'm Chaz Hathaway, author of Marriage is Ordained of God, But Who Came Up with Dating? And Giraffe Tracks. You can see notes and quotes from this podcast at our website, gospellivingmadeawesome.com. That's one word, gospellivingmadeawesome.com. Or if you'd like to invite me to do a fireside for your ward, stake, youth, young adult, singles ward, seminary, or institute, go to gospellivingmadeawesome.com and click on Firesides. Join us again next week for another episode of Gospel Living Made Awesome.